On this episode of Inside Boxing Live, we have a flurry of headlines. Canelo looks like he's going to be back in the ring. Edgar Berlanga has a new promotional home. Josh Taylor versus Teofimo Lopez. Where did that come from? And we preview one of the better all-action fights that we're going to get this year, Lee Wood and Mauricio Lara. Let's go. What is up, everybody? Welcome in to another episode of Inside Boxing Live. This is a product of John Boy Media. I am Dan Canobio. He is the former world champion, Chris Algieri, the fighting collegian, as named by Michael Buffer. We're ready to go. Big weekend of boxing last weekend. Big weekend upcoming. Some headlines. I'm raring to go. I'm excited to be here with you today. Chris, how are you?
I'm good, Dan. We haven't spoken like a week, man. I miss you. I haven't seen your face. We've been texting, but we haven't had one of these in a while. So.
Yeah. The John Boy boxing group chat is always something in there. Ronnie's in it. Ronnie's in the room with us here. We're always talking, usually about the weather. We're talking about weekend plans. Ronnie's heading to Daytona this weekend. I'm going to Boston next week. You got any trips planned?
I'm going to Tampa next week, and then, oh man, I've traveled so much lately, I'm pretty lost. I'm going to New York to see you guys pretty soon.
Yes, we have some very fun content on the way in March and throughout the spring, because I feel like the boxing schedule has not even gone into full swing yet. Like, April, May, June are going to be frantic. It's going to be big fights every weekend. Some nights, some Saturdays, we're going to have multiple cards. Afternoon over in the UK, great fight nights here in the US. So I think that things are about to heat up in a very, very big way. So we'll have a ton of content coming to the Inside Boxing Live YouTube page. But first I want to talk about on the show today, Chris, is how hot I am. Not just in appearance. In my betting. I am off to an unbelievable start. I'm tooting my own horn right here. I actually wrote down all the bets that I've won this year. I'm 8-0. I'm riding a high of highs. I had Gervonta 7-12 stoppage. I had the over in the Boots Karen fight. I had Beterbiev to win in 7-12. I had Serrano by decision. Over 7.5 Navarrete Wilson. And then last weekend, my parlay was in trouble. Linear Pirro hit that body shot on Faust that came out of nowhere to win that fight when it looked like he was about to lose, Pirro. And then Oshaki Foster won me a lot of money. I just want to let everyone know that. I just want to put it out there. I'm red hot right now. This is probably going to be the kiss of death. I'll probably lose all my bets this weekend. But I just wanted to let it be known that your boy's riding a hot streak.
Listen, big guy. There's ebbs and flows to everything, especially in the gambling world. I believe the end of last year, you were pretty deep
doesn't
in
get
that
any
trough.
Lower than I was.
You're getting pretty deep in the trough. You're having a good start to the year. Hopefully it keeps going the way it's going, because it seems like when boxing's doing well, so are your bets.
Yes.
Because, you know, last year boxing was not doing really well, and neither were your bets. I think because you're such a front runner, you know, you're such like a optimistic guy, you love boxing. When you're feeling good, your bets are coming out, and you're winning. When you're not feeling good, they're going down. You're a front runner, dude. I get it.
He even went into the Super Bowl. Like, I bet tails on the coin toss, won that one.
Yeah.
Bet the over, won that one. Bet that there would be a two-point conversion. There was. If I only put the octopus down. There was an octopus in the Super Bowl. Plus 1,400. Jalen Hurts scored a touchdown, and then he ran it in for a two-point conversion. I'd be have more money than you.
Yeah, that guy's a stud, Jalen Hurts. Jeez. But, yeah, man, I was learning to just fade you last year, and I was making all my bets based off that.
A lot of
now
people
I gotta like now I gotta kind of just kind of follow you.
A lot of people were fading me, and now people are sending me their picks, saying that they're riding my picks. They're sending screenshots when I put my picks out. Let's ride. Love that for the fans.
Nice.
All right, so let's get into it. This week, the headlines: Canelo Alvarez and John Ryder. It looks like it's set for May 6th, and the catch here is that the fight will be going down in Mexico. That is being laid out there. It's either USA or Mexico, says Eddie Hearn. If the fight does take place in Mexico, it's going to be at a Canelo's going to take a pay cut, because the gate there will be a lot cheaper. Like, you can't charge like maximum Vegas prices for a stadium fight in Guadalajara. Now, Canelo hasn't fought in Mexico since 2010. I like this fight. I don't mind it. You know, John Ryder certainly has earned this. He is a mandatory. If you want Canelo to, you know, his haters will say this guy doesn't defend belts, he doesn't do this, he doesn't do that. Well, he's fighting his mandatory for he's the undisputed champ at 168, which a lot of people forget since he goes up to 175 a lot too. I like this fight. I don't mind it as long as it sets up bigger fights for Canelo in the future.
Yeah, no surprise here for us. We had a good idea that this was going to be the fight. We spoke about it many times in the show. Yeah, I like the fight too. I think it's a quality fight. I think John Ryder's a quality opponent. I'm happy for him that he gets the shot. But I'm surprised about the Mexico thing. I really expected it to be over in England. I thought that was a really nice caveat for Canelo's career to go over and fight there and get experience with the European fan base. But hey, I mean, it's Canelo. The guy's entitled to pretty much whatever he wants to do. And if he wants to fight at home, he hasn't done it in a long time, more power to him. I know what it's like to fight at home. I know how much it means. I know it makes it extra special. So taking a pay cut for it to do it, I as a fighter, I get it.
Yeah, I mean, he hasn't fought there since 2010. I was also thinking England too, but if they're putting out these possibilities at anything other than Vegas, Canelo's obviously going to be like, all right, if that's the case, then let me have a homecoming fight. I mean, it's a fight that he's going to be a heavy favorite. There's got to be some wrinkle to this, you know, and if it's the scene that it'll make in at that stadium, you know, so be it. But Ryder coming off of that win over Zach Parker, obviously going to be a big underdog in this fight. I don't mind it, like I said.
Deservedly so. But.
Right. I don't mind it if it leads to Benavidez Plant winner. Like, obviously, if Plant beats Benavidez, then he absolutely deserves another shot at Canelo, and it makes that fight a little different than if Plant just went into a rematch with Canelo without beating Benavidez. His stock would be high.
Do you mind if it goes to a Bivol rematch?
I don't want to see the Bivol rematch. I think so, we've talked about this numerous times. especially at 168.
We're in agreement.
Especially at 168, I don't want to see a Bivol rematch. I think that's what it's going to be. I think Canelo's...
I do too.
Right. I think Canelo's 2023 is Ryder in May and then a Bivol rematch in September. And the only thing is, it's going to be at 168 or is it going to be at 175?
I actually think Canelo could lose to both those guys. I think he definitely loses to Bivol again. I just think...
Even at 168?
Even at 168. I don't think it's going to matter. But Benavidez, you know, who I do believe could beat Canelo as well at this stage. And he's a stud. But I think if there's a time for Canelo to beat him, it's going to be now. Earlier, the better. As he progresses and gets better and gets more comfortable and reaches his peak, because I don't know if Benavidez has gotten there yet, it's going to be a really, really tough fight. I think that Canelo can pull an old Felix Trinidad and get the young guy early to try and get that win and add to his legendary status and get ahead of that. If he were to go out and come and fight Benavidez, the guy that everyone's afraid of, and comes in and gets the win, I mean, that's a huge feather in the cap, especially because I think Benavidez is that good and he's going to do some big things in the future, even after a loss.
So let's just say Caleb Plant wins. Mm-hmm. I don't know if there'll be much of an appetite for the rematch with Canelo, even though that's like...
There won't.
He's got a lot of momentum. That could change things for Canelo's trajectory for the following year. If Plant beats Benavidez, I think some fans will be able to stomach the Canelo-Bivol rematch a little more. But if Benavidez wins and beats Plant in March, that and Canelo obviously beats Ryder, that's the fight right there. That's the fight the fans want to see. That's the fight that makes sense. We'll see with Canelo because he has shown no inkling and shown to want to fight Benavidez.
Yeah, no, I mean, he's even said on record, I don't want to fight Mexican fighters, whatever that means.
I don't know what that means either.
I don't know what that means. That's you're right. That's the fight that when you said, like, oh, the fans want it, you know, the public want it. That's the fight. That's what this show wants, too. I think that's the fight to be made. And like I said, I don't see the Bivol fight, the rematch being different. But the Benavidez fight I see is a real firefight and a fight that I think it's a pick 'em fight.
Well, that would entail Canelo doing another deal with the PBC. His last couple fights now have been with Matchroom, and Matchroom has a new signing. Edgar Berlanga has signed with Matchroom, something that we predicted when we found out that he was going to be a free agent. Makes the most sense. The caveat in this deal, which has a lot of people giving their opinions and saying, wait a second, what? Multi-fight deal at Matchroom with the intention of Berlanga getting a fight with Canelo Alvarez.
Hey, Dan, great segue, by the way. The way you brought in Matchroom and then you brought in Edgar.
I'm pretty good at this.
You're good at this. Yeah, this is the big drop that happened just a couple hours ago, really. You know, and something that, like you said, we kind of figured this was the best route. It's going to be the most expensive route or the most, you know, wealthy route for Berlanga. And, you know, with that idea that Canelo is the golden, is the gold at the end of the rainbow.
Right.
But who does Edgar fight on the way to
Good question.
That pot of gold? You know, who are the guys that Matchroom would be feeding him to build him up to the status where the public would be okay with making this fight? Well, that's the real trust.
I agree with that. I mean, every fighter wants to fight Canelo. He's the cash cow. And Eddie Hearn had...
Dan, you want to fight Canelo. Like, why wouldn't you? You're going to go to Guadalajara, get the bag, you know?
He can beat me up for one round, and I can get that 10 million. You know, at least, right? Isn't that what Danny Jacobs got? You're part of that camp, right?
It's, you know, the numbers that you fight Canelo. Yeah, it's you're looking at big money,
dude. When Danny Jacobs got 12 million for the Canelo fight. That was when DAZN and they were throwing around like bags.
But
Berlanga, obviously, we've talked about this at length. Like, his talent is not on par with his name, and he says, "I sell," and a fight with Canelo will be huge, but. Like, does he sell that much? Like, he never fought at the big room. Like, his fights were in the theater, and the last I was at a few of them, and people were leaving there going, oh, man, like, that was an underwhelming performance. Like, I don't see a Canelo fight materializing for this guy. I understand why he would sign with them, and Hearn has that in his back pocket. Like, hey, you can one day fight Canelo. Obviously, he's going to sign with him. I just think that it's a pie in the sky type of thing. I would love to see it happen, because that would mean that Berlanga can get back onto his winning ways, but... I don't know. If Canelo fights Berlanga in the next year, I'd be absolutely shocked.
Yeah, it's a stretch. And there's going to have to be some incredible matchmaking done in order to rebuild the momentum that Edgar Berlanga had prior to his last couple fights. You know, the last couple fights, like you said, were very underwhelming. I called most of them. I was in those rooms. You know, he's super talented. He's a great kid. I'm happy for him that he has this huge signing and this potential for these mega fights. But, you know, these next couple of fights, he's gonna have to elevate to a whole new level that we haven't seen yet. And the fans are going to have to really believe it if that fight is ever to happen.
So according to Boxing Scene in the rankings, Berlanga ranks number 4 with the WBO. He ranks number 6 with the IBF. And with the WBA, will return to the ring this summer. I'm trying to see, like, will he go that route? Will he go the mandatory route where he kind of forces his hand to fight Canelo? That's what I want to see. I'm trying to see who's above him in the rankings.
Yeah, I was gonna say who's above him in those rankings.
Going
that...
super middleweight right here. Super middleweight. There we go here. Ryder, Plant. Let's see. Berlanga's 4. This is in the WBO. Dude, this is the thing about these rankings is I never heard of this guy in front of him. Bazinyan, who's 29-0. He's sandwiched between Bazinyan, Berlanga, and a guy by the name of Igadov, who doesn't even have a photo on this website. But Plant is number 2, Andrade is number 1. Andrade fight's not happening because he's just signed PBC.
Right.
Plant fight, obviously not happening because Plant's fighting Benavidez. Hey. Benavidez isn't with the WBC.
He probably fights one of those no-name, no-picture guys, you know. He looks good there. Then, say Ryder loses to Canelo.
Right.
Then he fights Ryder. Looks good against Ryder. Then you're like, oh well, you know, I beat one of his past opponents.
That's what I think. He's got to fight Ryder. If Ryder puts up a decent performance against Canelo. Yeah. Berlanga, Ryder. I think Berlanga actually even mentioned that when he said, like, this is what I want from this year. Like, obviously, his next fight in whatever this year for Berlanga is going to be some type of, I wouldn't say can because that's disrespectful, but like someone to beat. And then Ryder, and then start banging the drum for Canelo.
Hey, that Ryder's a tough fight.
Definitely. I think he loses to Ryder.
That's a Ryder's.
Like, I would bet on Ryder in that fight.
Ryder, I think Ryder's a tough fight for Canelo.
You really think so?
I do. I think stylistically, I think his body type, he's got that shorter, stockier stance. Canelo's great against the tall guys. He's really good at fighting those longer guys. He's been making a career on it. The shorter guys, it can be a little harder to hit, smaller target. And Ryder's scrappy. He's a lot more technical than people give him credit for. He's physically strong. His nickname is the Gorilla. Like, there's a reason for that. You know, he's an ugly, rough fighter on the inside. He gave Danny Jacobs hell on the inside because of that. So, yeah, I don't think he's an easy fight for anybody. It's just a tough style.
Yeah, I wonder what the odds are. It hasn't been announced, but some of these sites put odds on there. But DraftKings doesn't have it up there yet. I would assume Ryder to be a plus 300 underdog in this fight. There's value there.
That's pretty fair.
Also, Canelo, we didn't mention, we talked about Canelo before, was that coming off the hand surgery. I don't like to make excuses for Canelo. There are as many as Canelo fans are out there, there are Canelo detractors. This guy gets special treatment. He gets to not defend his titles. He gets to move up to 175. Come on, Canelo Alvarez at this level, stage in his career, why is he fighting a guy like John Ryder? Well, we just said because he's the mandatory and coming off a hand surgery. And obviously, I'd rather see Canelo fight someone better than John Ryder. But like we said, if it leads to a bigger fight in the fall, which knowing Canelo, I mean, this guy's going to be in big fights at least once a year. So if it's Benavidez, if it's Bivol, if it's Plant, as long as it's not Berlanga. Because yeah, I don't think anyone wants to see that.
I actually think John Ryder's good. I think he's a good fighter. I know a lot of people don't know about him over here, but I mean, he gave Callum Smith absolute hell, and a lot of people think he won that fight. And I think that's something that can a storyline after, you know, if Canelo gets the win. It's like, well, Callum Smith is now campaigning at 175 and is potentially going to get that better Bia fight. Yeah, there's a lot of storylines that John Ryder actually ties in. So I don't know. The fans might not like it. The public might not like it. But like we said, we like this fight.
I'd like to see if it's going to be on regular DAZN, because
that'd be cool.
The Joshua fight not being on pay-per-view, their price change, bumping it up a little bit for subscription. I would like to see that from a fan consumer standpoint. Will Canelo Ryder be part of the regular DAZN subscription? That's going to be interesting to see.
Yeah, and man, Dan, these subscriptions keep going up. We're gonna have to start a whole nother show just to make money for subscriptions.
For some feet picks.
We could do boxing feet picks.
You're the guy that I can see like a calendar. 12 months of Algeria.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know how much of a market there is for that, but
you don't want to see me on that. Oh, I did run my we did have the boxing combine, or excuse me, the boxing combine is also coming out very soon. We've been editing it. Looks unbelievable. Every day we start editing it, there's a crowd around the our area just to watch the footage. It's
gonna be hilarious. It's absolutely this is we're all I hope you guys are all that you guys are as excited as I am about this whole thing.
But. Yeah, we're going to have that out, and we're going to have a bunch of hype, trailers and stuff. But I did the football combine. Guess my 40. Keep in mind, it was freezing. Keep in mind, it was the first event of the day, and they made me go first.
They're hoping that you weren't going to blow a hammy. How is the hammy? Did everything survive?
I came out fine. Hammy? That was the number one thing for me was don't get injured.
Well, yeah, you asked me if I had any advice for you, and I was like, yeah, warm up more than you think you need to.
Didn't. Literally got out of my car, and I was on the start line.
I was also going to say, don't be hungover from the day before, because when you're dehydrated, that's not a good look.
I drank a lot of water the night before, didn't stretch. But nice. Guess my 40.
What are we in? So we in
like this... under five is like you're super.
I know, but like where are you in? Are you in the sevens, eights?
No. I got a 5-3.
Okay.
Yeah,
all
I was
right.
Pretty happy with that. And we had the opportunity.
That's respectable.
Yeah. We had the opportunity to run again. Like, but if your second one would be your score. And I was like, no, I'm good.
Yeah. I was sit like, on good. That.
5-3, I don't care. Not last, not first, in the like middle of the pack. Fine.
That was like my SAT score in high school. I was like, I'll stay there. I'm good. I'm going to take that again.
They were asking us about SATs in the office. Like, because they're like, damn, what was your SAT?
Do they even know what that is?
Well,
they didn't know what.
Back an hour a day, it was at a 1600.
Right.
Now it's out of Ronnie's here. Yours was out of 2400, right?
From what I remember.
Didn't they go back down? Didn't they go up and then go back down? They added writing? I don't know.
I thought it was still 1600.
For a while, it was like out of 2400.
No, mine was still out of 16.
Okay.
I believe.
Ronnie's pretty smart. What'd you get?
I was not happy. I got 1100.
Oh, I'd be thrilled. I'd pin that on my fridge.
11?
I think I got cracked 1,000.
That was my first score.
You could take it multiple times.
I'm going to keep my mouth shut.
Chris is going to plead the fifth. Fighting collegian. But look at you now.
Yeah, two-time but I got author. 1,300.
1,300? Dude, yeah. This would be a funny thing, is to find out the SAT scores of boxers. Even though a lot of them, I haven't even graduated high school. But you probably think you have one of the higher SAT scores of any boxer.
I would imagine most boxers didn't even take the SATs.
That's why you went to Stanford, right?
No, Stony Brook.
Okay.
Stony Brook. Stony
Brook is the Stanford of Long Island.
The Stanford of the East Coast.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So when I took it, I was like, all right, that'll get me into Stony Brook. I'm good. People are like, oh, you probably get a better score. Take it again. I'm like, nah, I'm good. I'm good. Yeah, I know where I'm going. I applied to one school. That was the only school I was going. It was the only school I was going to.
That's why you ran the red hat for the Stony Brook. Seawolves.
Seawolves. Seawolves.
Yeah, baby.
Seawolf for life.
Seawolf. They also made us do an IQ test. You know, like the NFL Combine, they would do that. It was called the Wonderlic test. They would give it to players, and famously Vince Young, not to throw him under the bus, catching strays, Vince Young, got one of the worst scores ever. So yesterday they had us do the Wonderlic, which is a basic IQ test, which brought me back to the SAT days. Like,
right.
You know, like Karen has X amount of groceries and blah, 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 like those types of riddles. And I don't know how I did on that. So that's all I got. 5-3-40. Suck it. All right, where were we? Josh,
We're going to put that in your grave. 5-3-40.
Suck it. Let's get back into it. Josh Taylor, Teofimo Lopez. This fight came out of literally nowhere, Chris. It's rumored for May 27th or June 3rd. Lot of thoughts here. A lot of shrapnel coming off of this fight here. Obviously, Jack Catterall fight not happening. Don't think he ever intended
poor
on
Jack,
fighting.
Man.
Don't
poor
think
Jack.
Poor Jack is right. Boxing's not fair. That's something I forgot to say about Edgar Berlanga. Like, meritocracy does not exist in boxing. Very rare do I deserve this shot and I'm getting this shot go hand in hand in boxing. If Berlanga does fight Canelo. But Josh Taylor obviously had never had any intentions on fighting Jack Catterall. He
apparently not.
Why would I do that if I was him? Like, I could potentially lose. There's not enough money in that fight. Give me the biggest fight out there possible. That's Teofimo Lopez. Teofimo Lopez obviously coming off those two, I would say, lackluster performances. There's not a lot of momentum for this fight. Josh Taylor,
that's being nice,
Lopez.
Saying lackluster. That's being nice.
Right. But there's no moment. This fight last year, this fight 2 years ago, one of the best fights you could possibly make in boxing. I'm still excited for it, but it does have like a lot of asterisks next to it. There's like a feeling of this fight, something about it rubbing me the wrong way.
First of all, the Jack Catterall situation, I mean, my heart bleeds for the kid. He fights the fight of his life. Many people thought that he got robbed. Could have been undisputed. Is waiting around for over a year for the rematch. It gets pushed back. It gets pushed back by Josh. Then he gets hurt. Then this, the extension, all of it. And then he gets completely put out to dry. Poor kid has wasted a solid year of his career.
Prime.
Just waiting for this fight. That's not happening. That's tough, man. He's going to have to fight tooth and claw again to get back up there in a very, very deep weight class. And, I had to put some love out there for Jack Catterall.
I like Jack Catterall.
That's a terrible situation for him. And like you said, boxing's not fair, life ain't fair, and he's getting the ass end of the stick on that one.
But one thing though, there's talk of a potential Catterall Regis Prograis title fight.
Okay, so I mean, he gets another shot, but I don't know. That's still a huge letdown. There was a lot to happen with that Taylor fight.
Right.
And, you know, and that's just not happening. But that being said, Teofimo, Taylor, am I surprised that the fight's happening? No. It's, you know, when you're looking at X's and O's and dollars and cents, the fight makes sense. You know, that's the old saying, right? If it makes sense, it makes dollars, it makes sense.
Correct.
So, I think the lead up to that fight is going to be awesome. These guys seem like they have bad blood. They're both going to be yapping back and forth. I think Taylor is one of the most vicious talkers in the division, and Teofimo ain't shy either. So I think that's going to be a really good build up. In terms of the fight, man, that's a really tough fight for Teofimo. I don't really see him as a 40 pounder. We're still waiting to see if that power really came up with him or not. His last two fights, it didn't really seem like so. And Taylor's a big 40. He's a big 40. As long as he can recover from this foot injury, which is what supposedly postponed the Jack Catterall fight, right, and he can get himself to sweat down into that 140 again healthfully. Taylor's a big ask for Teofimo coming up.
Dude, you just listed a lot of like ifs, a lot of maybes, a lot of if this happens, if that happens, if Teofimo can find the power at 140, if Taylor can boil down to 140 again. This is why this fight has a lot of variables. I'd like to see the odds on this one when it gets announced. Taylor has one fight in the last 18 months. And this guy had a ton of momentum before that, you know, fighting in the tournament, the World Boxing Super Series, beating Pro Gray on top of the world. This guy,
Ramirez, great fight.
This guy was top five consensus pound for pound. He was looked at as in a good light. Now he's completely turned heel by potentially losing that fight to Cato, not giving him the rematch, all the tomfoolery that happened afterwards. I'm almost thinking, like, is Top Rank looking at this like it's just like a cash out fight for each guy? Like, I don't know if Taylor is at the top of his game anymore. I certainly think on paper he can. He's still the guy to beat at 140 and all that. Teofimo obviously has so many question marks. I think this is like sink or swim for both these guys. And I think that's how Top Rank is looking at it, too. It's like, all right now is the most we can get out of these two guys money wise. We got to make some money on this fight. But in terms of like, where they're at in their careers, I think the loser of this is gonna have a lot of questions.
Yeah, there's something that happens sometimes, you know, behind the scenes that the public really never knows about. Is that listen, all fighters, myself included, are very self-destructive. Some of us are ticking time bombs, and the teams around them get wind of that, and they could be riding as high as possible, but there's a shelf life, and when that bomb's ready to go, you want to make sure you made as much money possible as you could have before that. It could be that kind of situation with these fighters, with both guys. We don't really know what's going on in their camps. We don't know what's going on in their personal lives. We both know that crazy things swirl around both of them in these kind of situations. So it could be one of those situations, like you said, Dan, where it's almost like a cash out, which is crazy to think of because they're both so young and they were at the top of their game very recently. To maybe the outsides looking in, the third man perspective is like, hey, we should really do something about this right away because this train's gonna end soon.
With that, I feel like it's for Taylor, I think it's more physical. Mm-hmm. And with Teofimo, I think it's mental in terms of the ticking time bomb. Like for sure. Like we've seen the stuff from his camp. I've heard stuff from his camp. You can just see it on the things he says, the way he's acting, especially after the fight. Do I still have it? I don't know, man. I'll be excited for this fight. Obviously, it's a big fight, and I'm excited for all big fights. But
You know what it kind of reminds me of? Kel Brook. Remember a bunch of years ago when he fought Triple G? It was like, why? That was weird.
Yeah.
I heard there was a lot of funny stuff going on in between fights. He got stabbed in the leg after he won the title because of a bar fight.
He's crazy.
Bunch of other stuff. You know, now the news coming out about, you know, the video of him using illicit drugs and then him, the backlash from that. It's like, fighters, we are a different breed. We tend to be quite reckless, whether, you know, obviously our career choices is not conducive to a long, healthy life. But a lot of us can't turn that off when we live our personal lives the same way we live our professional lives, which is being reckless and dangerous.
Yeah, absolutely. I've been around a lot of fighters in my day, too. You nailed it.
Bunch of savages.
Savages. Savages for sure. But I was surprised that this fight was made so quickly, and it leads me to some of these other big fights that Top Rank has coming down the pipeline. Like, obviously, Fury Usyk has moved away from Saudi Arabia, and they're looking at staging it in Wembley April 29th. Still haven't gotten a confirmation. I don't know what is going on. The latest I heard is that Usyk's representatives are flying out as we speak to hammer out this deal. They want a 50-50 split.
Mm.
Which is interesting. I mean, I'm not going to get too deep into this, but Fury is the bigger draw, especially at Wembley. Usyk has more belts.
If Fury really,
you know, 50-50, we'll see. We'll see what happens with it. But that, at least for a fan standpoint, like it happening at Wembley is amazing.
Yeah.
A stale scene over in Saudi Arabia. I've talked about this numerous times on the show. I think before you hopped on, it's like, obviously I don't like fights happening in Saudi Arabia, but if it means that they're going to happen and they're going to get him over the finish line, so be it. But 90,000 at Wembley for Fury Usyk for the undisputed all four belts, historic. I mean, that if this all happens like it should, that's going to set up an awesome event.
I'm dying to go to a Tyson Fury heavyweight title fight in Wembley. I would rather go to Anthony Joshua, but I mean, this one could happen too. I mean, I think it would just be bananas in there. And the biggest fight that I've been to date was Canelo Alvarez when he fought Billy Joe Saunders over in Texas, and that
70,000.
Was sick. 70, now you grand. had 20 grand to that.
No,
let's
you had
go.
40 grand to that. No, 20. Oh, what is it? 70. I'm thinking 20, of the fight, yeah. I went to Spence Mikey Garcia at Cowboy Stadium, and that was 40,000, and that was one of the loudest roars I've ever heard. Because of I've been to a lot of fights, but usually it's capped at like 20,000, whether it's at MGM Grand Garden or MSG. But 40,000, 50, when you get into that, it's like a roar you hear at a football game.
Dude, 70 grand over with that Canelo Saunders fight, and then, you know, he's got Saunders hurt, and he's literally waving on the crowd. I mean, it was, you could feel the sound. It was like a sound wave, like a sonic boom hit me in the back. I was like, wow.
That's sick.
I mean, it was awesome.
If anyone listening and watching that has never been to a live fight, you got to go. Ron, I'm sorry, bro.
Wait, Ronnie has not been to a live fight yet?
Well, no.
What are we doing?
We're trying to get him to one.
Hey, come on. These fights are ducking me.
Just like Gervonta is ducking. No, I'm not saying that. You see Gervonta Davis in a wheelchair.
I sent it to you right away, and you're like, no, it's been debunked. I don't know why I send you news, because you are so
in
the Twitter sphere and right on everything. But I was like, oh boy, here we go.
The Ronnie who was sitting next to me, I was like, a TMZ, I'm scrolling on Twitter, TMZ. It's like, Gervonta Davis was in a wheelchair spotted at the Super Bowl. Like, what the hell is going on?
What a sick sport.
And then literally 10 minutes later, Gervonta Davis posts a video of him, his ankles. Because they were, like, twisting back and forth on a plane, like, no, like, I'm fine. And then I saw a video came out. I don't want to, like, say, well, I just think he was just had a good time at the Super Bowl and couldn't walk. Ryan Garcia was at the Super Bowl.
With Bryce
Harper. In
a different
suite with Bryce Harper. Did not get wheeled out in a wheelchair.
Allegedly.
So that's where the Ryan Garcia tank.
What did we say earlier? Fighters are savages?
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Yes.
That's where we're at with the Ryan and tank negotiations.
In and out of the ring.
They say, always say the last step of negotiation is a fighter showing up in a wheelchair. So we're getting closer and closer to that fight.
Wait, who said that?
It's always Bert Sugar.
No. Okay.
Yeah. It's big. It's like a boxing saying. We know that. That's what's going on with that. Fury Usyk, heavyweight division's pissing me off because now Wilder Ruiz is in trouble now too, like not getting finalized. And Wilder's like, all right, I'll go fight Ngannou. Like Francis Ngannou is messing up so many big fights potentially happening. Like every big heavyweight right now is like using Ngannou for leverage.
He's not. He's not messing up anything. He's just being used as the scapegoat.
Yes.
And that's real bullshit.
I think Nagano's fine with that if he can land one of these fights.
Well, he's just getting his name out there that much more. But he's not getting any of these fights. The Ngannou fight's not happening. But the fact that the Wilder Ruiz fight, which is a fight I was excited about when I first heard about that, I'm like, I love this fight. It makes sense, and it's a shootout. I mean, I definitely lean towards Wilder and probably pretty early, but hey, man, that's a fun fight with some good name heavyweights.
Yeah.
So the fact that they're not stepping in the ring is not cool.
Fury Usyk hasn't been announced yet. Haney Loma hasn't been announced. Wilder Ruiz and Tank Ryan, like. Although four of those do get announced, that's blockbuster. But we just need them to happen, and there's a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes, the business side of the sport. One fight we know we're getting. Go ahead, Chris.
I'm feeling optimistic, which I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing.
About all four of those?
About these fights actually materializing.
All right, so we'll go through. Fury Usyk, percentage out of 100 that it happens.
That fight happens.
100? There's no such thing as 100% in boxing.
Well, no such thing as 100%. But yeah, let's not go percentage on that one. But that, I say that fight happens.
99%?
Let's go, I think, 90% chance that fight happens.
90%. Okay. Haney Lomachenko. Haven't heard a damn thing about it. I was told it was happening May 20th. Broke that news. I don't know where this fight's at.
That's a questionable fight. The longer it goes, the less of a chance that it's going to happen. I don't think Haney's going to stick around 135.
65% on that one.
Yeah, that's. Still I was going to say 70,
than,
but yeah.
Still better than 50. Wilder, Ruiz.
I mean, I thought this was a done deal. There's no real drive for this fight to happen. So it's a 50-50 to me.
50%. Mm. And then our white whale. Brian Garcia, Tank Davis.
You know where I stand on this one.
Zero?
I'm still thinking this fight's not going to happen. Well, no, okay. So I've changed. I don't think it's... I never said the fight was never going to happen, but I just think it's going to take a lot longer than we've been talking about. And that I was saying that back in September. I still don't think it's going to happen April 15th. My fingers are crossed that it does because I want to go. We all want to go. But yeah, I don't think this fight's going to happen. On
100% from me.
I know where you stand.
100, Hundo P, this fight happens. There you go. Four big fights out there and their percentages. One fight we know is happening, Chris, this weekend, as long as they make weight and they don't get in trouble. Lee Wood, Mauricio Lara. Let's freaking go. This is going to be a slugfest. Not going the distance. Lee Wood right now is a +210 underdog. The champ at home in this fight. So there's some value there. Lee Wood to win in rounds 7 through 12. +700. Which is a huge number. A lot of things can go a lot of ways in this fight. I love it. It's a slugfest. Lee Wood coming off of that fight with Conlan. Mauricio Lara arguably beat Warrington twice. All action type of fight. This is what boxing at its best.
Fight fans fight. This is a great fight, great matchup. Two guys who are not huge stars by any means. You know, if not for the Mick Conlan fight of the year last year, a lot of people probably wouldn't know that much about Woods at all. And Lara with his upset of Warrington and their two fights. I mean, again, not a really well-known guy, but this is an awesome matchup with two guys who can really punch, two guys who are looking for KOs, which is why the odds are coming out the way they are. But yeah, man, I've got a funny feeling about this guy, Lara.
I mean,
he is good at upsetting the apple cart. He's good at traveling, and he's just a hell of a if fighting him is that just I don't know. He's just a hell of a fighter. He's a really tough guy to deal with, and he's got legit power.
We can start with Lara. He's one of these rare guys. We talked about this a lot. Lands 40% of his power shots, but eats 38. I actually had that flipped. Lara lands 38% of his power, eats 40%. He's like -2 in the power department. So he's all action too. 18 of his 20 landed punches per round are power shots. Doesn't even bother to throw a jab.
Not a jabber.
I just rewatched his fight with Warrington. He destroyed Warrington in the first fight.
Yes. Destruction. Yes, absolutely. Hey, hurt him with everything you hit him with.
And then Warrington lucked out in the rematch. They had the headbutts, right? The cuts.
Yeah.
I think he was well on his way to being Warrington again. Obviously, I don't rate Warrington that highly anymore. But that just shows you the type of guy going into enemy territories. Even though the first fight was in the bubbles, no fans. That sucked. Second fight had some fans there. This fight, he's going to be... I know you said Wood isn't like a superstar, but he's pretty popular over in the UK. Just look at his fight with Conlan. It was freaking buzzing in there. But the thing with Lara, it's like I'm worried about his gas tank, number one. I'm worried about... Not about his power, a little bit of obviously his defense. Wood can crack. Wood is a really hard, really good puncher. I think the longer this fight goes on, the more Lee Wood is likely to come out on top. This, like, Lara's fun. He's not, like, he's the definition. I'm not here for a long time. I'm here for a good time. Like, he is just energy, just a whirlwind in there. Like, it doesn't lend himself to, like, championship rounds for Lara. Or, like, he's looking to get Wood out of there quick.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly right. I agree totally. I mean, but he has the power to do it. And, you know, Wood gets hurt, and especially early. We saw that in the McConlin fight. McConlin, not a huge puncher by any means. And it did completely different level of power when you're talking about Lara. And if Lara hits Wood the way that Mick did, I mean,
that's the thing.
It's going to be it's an early night.
That's the big X factor is Wood's defense. Did he shore that up? Did he fix some of the things we saw in that Conlan fight? Because Conlan, like you said, Conlan is not known as a power puncher. And early on in the first round, he got laid out. Wood by a left hand, like out. I don't know how he got up from that, and then worked his way back into that fight and ended up stopping Conlon in the 12th round in dramatic fashion. That was my fight of the year.
Same.
Last year. But in that fight, Conlon landed 44% of his power shots. He landed 40% overall. Like we said, like Mick Conlon, not known for power, not known for precision, is a good, damn good boxer. That right there is leading me to be like, that's, I understand why this fight that Wood maybe is the underdog here. Like, I can punch hard, he can hit. Better sound boxer, better boxer than Lara, but it's just like, will the defense be there?
Lara hasn't lost a fight since 2018.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he only has two losses, and he got stopped in the first round of that fight. But other than that, I mean, the guy's been on a tear and knocking most guys out. So he got momentum too. This is just a fun fight, and it's one of those fights where don't score it, just watch it. You're probably not gonna have to score it, so just watch it.
We just gave our percentages of these fights, like percentage this fight goes the distance, zero.
Zero.
I agree.
And then Sunday we're gonna be talking like, well, that was wow, good decision.
Someone got robbed.
What a fight. What? 12 round fight. That was great.
Under 5.5 rounds, -130. Under 5.5. Oh, sorry, over 5.5. -130, under 5.5, +100. The winning method, this is interesting to me. Lee Wood, like we said, by decision, which is unlikely, 750. Lee Wood by KO, +350. If you go to the alternate round betting, so this is what I'm looking at. Like, obviously,
wait, so Lee Wood by decision, +750.
Yeah, but that's not going to happen, though. I think if Lee Wood is to win, if any of these guys are to win, it's going to be by KO, and I think Vegas agrees with it, because any scenario with someone knocking the other out is really, really high plus money. The matter of, like, I'm zeroing in on Lee Wood money line, and I'm also might sprinkle some money on Wood 7 through 12 to stop Lara, +700. Like, will it go past 6 rounds, in your opinion?
I believe it will, but I think there's going to be fireworks. I think both men are probably going to be hurt, or we're going to see someone hurt or down prior to that. And then I think it's just going to be a war until the war abruptly stops. Oh, and man, I'm probably thinking it's going to be after 6.
I'm looking at this. I think Wood's going to win. That's my gut. My gut has been right. 2023. Do I have a gut?
Yeah. My gut, which is not as big as your gut, is telling me Lara.
You're saying Lara. So if you were to say Lara by stoppage.
Yeah.
In what rounds?
Middle round. So after 6, 7, 8.
That's +350. I got to really think on this. I'm not ready to. I did put Wood money line because I wanted to get those odds, but this is interesting when it's going to happen and who. This is why I love this fight. It's a really, really good fight. It's going to be really fun. It's over on DAZN. Another good one, Luis Neary versus Crazy A. Azat Hovhannissian.
Luis Neary is a great fighter. I mean, he's a talented, talented guy. It's a good fight. He hasn't been that active recently, right? I haven't heard him.
Neary, he's been in there. He beat Castro. He beat some other a low level guy, stay busy type of fight. Obviously lost to Brandon Figueroa, was stopped.
Yeah,
and then had a rebuild. It's a fun fight. This is Saturday night on DAZN. It's a Golden Boy vehicle. Crazy A is a really fan. We get potentially front runners for fight of the year on Saturday. Both on DAZN, so good value for the fans out there. Lastly, we'll take a look at the featherweight picture, which I think is a really good division, but it's kind of all over the place. Like Ray Vargas, who lost last week to Oshaki Foster,
which we predicted on the show.
That was easy both money. Easy both money. I'm just happy they didn't rob Foster. That was, I think the books usually don't get it wrong. They really got that one wrong. They didn't know enough on Foster. He's a really good fighter. But Vargas is still the champ. at featherweight. He's, I expect him to go back down to 126 because he didn't look good at 130. WBA champ is Lee Wood. IBF champ is Luis Lopez, who beat Warrington, a big upset earlier, late last year. And then you got Robesi Ramirez, who I think is probably arguably the best featherweight.
He's a bad dude, man.
Would you say he's the most well-rounded featherweight? Complete fighter?
No, because of the experience at pro. I think that he is the most talented and the most gifted, you know, and he's getting better all the time. So every time I see him fight, he's better. Yeah. So that's what you want from a guy like that. I mean, he started his career very fast, obviously. Came out and lost his first fight. Fought a pretty tough journeyman right away. But since then, it's been, I mean, just the improvements have been astronomical. Exponentially better every fight. So you never know who you're going to fight this one. You never know who you're going to see. Is he fighting? Who's he fighting now?
He's fighting Isaac Dogbe.
I was gonna say Dogbe. That's a big step.
Yeah,
Dogbe's a nightmare. He's a nightmare to fight. He's a really rough guy. He's strong. He's got a lot of experience. But I fully think that Robesi is gonna dominate him and probably stop.
Yeah, he should outclass him. That's the vacant WBO. Then Maxayo is fighting Brandon Figueroa next month. That's a good fight. Top ten featherweight. So featherweight division looks pretty good. But I think this fight this weekend, Wood and Lara, is going to be the crown jewel. I think it's going to be a fight of the year contender. It's going to be the one that's going to be the clubhouse favorite. And then we get closer and closer to some of the bigger fights in February.
So yeah, we got our work cut out for us in the next couple months, which is good.
Yeah, more we got
work
a lot.
Is good work.
Yeah, we got a lot coming to the Inside Boxing Live YouTube page. A lot of in person stuff. The combine coming out soon. Fight previews. A lot of fun stuff coming your way. Final prediction. Lee Wood, Mauricio Lara. I'm taking Lee Wood to win. I just don't know when.
Yep. I got Lara middle rounds.
All right. So we got a head-to-head matchup between me and Algieri. And you saw what I did to you in Wii boxing.
Yeah. I remember that went really well for me, actually.
I won the first fight. You can see it. It's on YouTube.
But I won the next two very easily.
I was
playing the Don King. I was like, let's get a little interest in the matchup.
Right.
So I get a trilogy. Trilogies make way more money than single
ones.
That's true.
That's a good point. What do you got going on this weekend?
What is this weekend? Oh, I got a neurosports conference that I'm speaking at. We're talking about psychology of the champion lifestyle and just what it takes to be a champion from a psychological standpoint.
Wow. So that's a flex right there. I'm not doing that. That's a flex. That's a muscle. What am I doing this weekend? Oh, the girlfriend's coming to town. I'm going to show her.
Nice.
I'm a champion too in her eyes.
That's all that matters.
I'm also leading a conference this weekend.
Conference about?
Nothing. a men's conference, like George Costanza said. Ronnie, he's heading down to Daytona.
I'm going to be having the time of my life, Daytona Beach. Daytona 500.
Nice.
Yeah.
Daytona, man. That's a beautiful place.
Going to be on the track.
In the infield?
Yep.
Talk about a roar.
I'm jealous, man. That's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, yeah. Some pacer car stuff, some iRacing simulations type stuff. Going to watch my first race.
Yeah. That's going to land where? On JM
Entertainment.
Yeah, so check that out too. JM Entertainment YouTube page. Damn.
You better bring your beer drinking pants there, big guy.
Butt heavies.
A lot of that at Daytona.
A lot of butt heavies.
I'm going to have some unforgettable nights. Let's just say that.
Wow. All right.
If you remember them, but yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Daytona, we're all over the place this weekend. Have a good one, everybody. Check out the fights. As always, protect yourselves at all times. Keep your hands up and stay out of the DMs. We're out.
You saw the game-winning play once, but have to replay it 3 times on the way back to the hotel. Because some moments don't end at the buzzer. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Book direct and save at bestwestern.com.